We live in a noisy world. Amen. Yeah. A lot of Americans, part of our culture, I don't know if you're like this, but a lot of us are. At TV, at home, we have our TVs blaring. It's pretty loud. If you have children, it's always loud. But whenever your home situation, a lot of times it's loud. And we have cell phones, and a lot of times we're on our cell phones and they're doing things. But even when we're not, a lot of times we're getting notifications, little dings, messages that says, you need to return this message, you need to respond to this, pay attention to that. And when we're driving, even driving for a lot of us Americans is noisy because the silence can be a little bit deafening to us. So what do? A lot of us turn on a radio and we listen. A lot of us are just constantly surrounded by noise. We live in a noisy world. When we go out in public, it's not just noise. We may hear music in the background, but we're always exposed to marketing. There are billboards, advertisements. There are constant noisy ways of getting to our attention, messages that are coming at us frequently. And when I'm preparing for a message, a lot of times what I think is, am I adding to the noise? It's a line I picked up, I think, from a Switchfoot song. Yeah, but it's also something that I think they got from Paul. Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians 13. He said, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And I don't want to be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Because, let me tell you, at the very least today, I hope that you can get a good nap. And you're not going to sleep very well if there's a gong playing or cymbals. So you could at least, this should be a place where you can get some sort of rest. So hopefully today is not just noise. I don't want to add to the noise, that it's productive. But do you ever just want to escape noise? You ever just want to go someplace where it's quiet? I heard a recent study of the United States, and they identified just there's a handful of places left where you can even go and for it to be quiet. It's so hard for us to get to a quiet place. And for a lot of us, absence of noise is even unsettling, isn't it? I know if it's too quiet, it can be eerie, or we're left alone with our thoughts for too long, and it just can be kind of nerve-wracking, can it? Anybody else feel uncomfortable? My point exactly, right? Quiet is unsettling. How long do you think that was? It was like 30 seconds, but to a lot of you, it probably felt like several minutes. the question that we're asking today is, what if God is speaking? Because a lot of us want to hear from God. But what if God is speaking? We just can't hear His voice above the noise. Do you know, just because you can't hear a sound doesn't mean it's not there. Now, I'm getting ready to use an illustration, and some of you are going to think I'm speaking Greek or Hebrew or something. I'm not. Some of you are going to get this. But you know what happens when you lose your cell phone? What do? We lose our phone. What's the first thing we do? What's that?
Panic.
Yeah. After we panic, what's the next thing we do? Say we're at home and we know we left it somewhere. We can't find it at church. What do? Call it. We find another phone and we call it, right? So this scene probably plays out for a lot of you. You're calling your phone from another phone, trying to listen. What do to everybody? Shh. If the TV's on, turn the TV off. If people are trying to find a phone. Now, if the ringer may be making sound, it might be on vibrant. So it might be on silent. It's making a low buzz. Or maybe the ringer is turned really down really low, and it's very difficult to find. And you're listening, and it might even be in the same room. But if it's in a purse or a bag or in the couch cushions, you just can't hear it because the noise is too low. Just because you can't hear a sound doesn't mean it's not there. And so fortunately, iPhones have this really nice feature called Find My iPhone, where if you can't find it by listening for the sound, you can get another smart device, and you can find your phone, and then it sends a signal, and it has a loud beep. And you can follow, and still the loud beep may not be too loud, but then when you find it, a lot of times you discover it was there the whole time, it was making a noise, it was just so quiet, or everything else was so noisy, that you just couldn't hear it. How many people are thankful for Find My iPhone? Right? Some of us. And I bet Androids have something similar, but I don't know because I have an iPhone. But did you know that we hear sound waves between 20 and 20,000 hertz? That's our range of hearing. Below 20 is called infrasound. And there are infrasonic, elephants use infrasound to figure out what the weather's going to do, and they can move according to weather patterns. Infrasound can cause headaches. Infrasound can cause earthquakes. And birds use infrasound for navigation. So we can't hear those sound waves, but it doesn't mean they're not there. And infrasound goes, and it can do some really powerful and crazy and wonderful things. Above 20,000 hertz is called ultrasound. Now, when you hear about ultrasonic or ultrasound, what's the first thing that comes to mind with ultrasound? Picture of a baby, right? Picture of a fetus, because ultrasound can actually see an unborn baby. Ultrasound can kill insects. It can track submarines. It can break glass. It can perform non-invasive surgery. Ultrasound can topple buildings, break kidney stones, and drill through steel. We can't hear it, but it's real. It's sound waves, ultrasound. Low levels, just as we talk about ultrasound and infrasound, sound can be measured in decibels. At 110, something that's really loud, 110 decibels, your blood pressure actually starts to change. At 145 decibels, your vision blurs. At 195 decibels, it may burst your eardrums. 202 decibels can actually kill a person. Believe it or not, sound, if it's that loud, can kill a person. On one end of the spectrum with the animals, a sperm whale can make a clicking noise at about 200 decibels that can travel 10,000 miles underwater. So sperm whales do that, and a whisper can be measured at about 15 decibels at the lower end of it. And I want to pause here to acknowledge where I get that information. It's from a book called Whisper by Mark Batterson. Very good book. There's also a Bible reading plan called Whisper. If you're following along with a device this morning on this, there's even a link to the Bible plan if you want to do the Whisper Bible plan, and you can, if you want to read this book. It's got some really good stuff. But anyway, so I want to acknowledge that because I used it for that information and some of the thoughts in this message. So now we're going to shift, and we're going to go to a guy in the Old Testament, a prophet named Elijah. And in the story today, we want to try to get some context because Elijah had just had a mountaintop experience. He had faced off against 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah, not to mention the king was opposed to him. And they were having a duel. And so here he was, there's 850 enemies versus one. And the people were trying to decide who they were going to follow. Were they going to follow the gods of Baal and Asherah or the Lord, Yahweh, the God of the Bible? And Elisha had this experience where he called fire from heaven and God sent fire from heaven. And there was a revival. People started turning to the Lord. And then it started raining. Like it was just this amazing, fantastic experiences that were like goosebump kind of things for Elijah. All these things happened, and he was so excited, pumped up, spiritually high, that it said he ran down the mountain faster than the king's chariots could even run down. So Elijah's just had this amazing experience. Fire's come from heaven. The people have turned. He's witnessed a miracle. And then, do you remember how many prophets he squared off against? 850 and a king. And then a queen threatens his life. One woman threatens his life, and he goes into despair. He loses that high, and all of a sudden he's discouraged, maybe depressed. He even says that he wants to die, and he just wants to get away from everybody. And he goes out into the wilderness. He spends some time in a cave. He just wants to escape. He just wants to get away from it all. And then he goes back onto a different mountaintop. The mountain with fire from heaven was Carmel, Mount Carmel. It's a different mountain. But he goes to the mountain, and this is what happens while he's on the mountain. A great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke. Just loose up. Okay, there we go. So here we go. This is high decibel noise. High decibel. Lots going on here. We could even maybe say it's ultrasonic because rocks are just splitting. It might be infrasonic too, but rocks are splitting, and that's one of the things that ultrasonic sound waves can do. So it's high decibel, ultrasonic, and then he famously expresses, the writer famously expresses, but the Lord was not in the wind. Sometimes we talked about how just because you can't hear a sound doesn't mean the sound is not there. I think it's also true that just because something is loud, it doesn't mean that God is in it. Just because something is loud and fantastic doesn't mean that God is in it. Because it makes this, poetically, this great point, the Lord was not in the wind. Then it says, and after the wind, an earthquake. And the earthquake, that is infrasonic. So think here. Okay, so what's the message in this? And then, but once again, but we have this message, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. So here we have this high decibel noise. We have ultrasonic, infrasonic, and the Lord is not in these things. And so it's kind of like, what's left? You know, he's been listening for God. He's been gone to a cave, a mountain. What is left? There's been loud noises, rumbling, all kinds of sound waves, and God's not in it. And it says, after the earthquake, a fire. A fire. If you remember, this is interesting that after the earthquake, there's a fire, because what had just happened with Elijah? There was fire from heaven. So this has kind of taken Elijah back to his memories, where God really met him in a special way. He experienced God through fire. So surely, once again, just as he did in the past, God is going to speak through the fire. It maybe revved up his memories, and he thought of Mount Carmel, and he was taken back to better places, right? Surely God will use fire again. Surely he will. And then, once again, they make the claim, but the Lord was not in the fire. The Lord was not in the fire. As people, we tend to really want the spectacular, right? I mean, I don't know if I'm alone in this, but man, I want God to come in a way where the hair on the back of my neck raises and no one can deny it. And people are moved emotionally and these amazing things are happening. They're spectacular. And then, you know, we want God to do it again. Maybe you've had those experiences where you were at a conference or you were at a service or somewhere in nature, something happened, and you just felt like God was in this. That was a miracle. I can't believe that happened. Man, I want that to happen again. Elijah, I wonder if he wanted that too. He had just had that high. He had seen how God could do it. And God's not doing it anymore in the same way that he did back then. And I wonder why. And then there ends up being a surprise here. And the surprise is that, and after the fire, a low whisper. Now, this is something that's low decibel. Maybe it's decibel, maybe it's not, but it's low. It's something that's quiet. Maybe it's like a buzzing. It's something that's hard to hear, especially if there's any background noise. But God appears in the low decibel, the still small voice, as the New King James says, or the NASB calls it the gentle blowing. It's quiet. It's quiet. Hebrew, there's a word. I would try to pronounce it, but Larry speaks Hebrew, and he would tell you the right way to say it. But anyway, that Hebrew word, demama, we'll try that. It can mean silence, stillness, or calmness with whispers. And it conveys how God delivers us from distress. Psalm 107, it uses this term. It says that he made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Now, as Christians, we know this is foreshadowing Jesus calming a storm. Here it is written several hundred years before he came to earth. But we're reminded of how Jesus hushed the storm. He calmed the storm. And I want to ask a question. How can we hear the noise of God? If God speaks in the still small voice, if God is hard to detect, how is it that we can quiet down and hear? What if God doesn't prefer to shout often and do the spectacular, but God is quiet and he whispers? What if that's the truth? And I think one of the things that Scripture maybe indicates and that I believe is that it doesn't happen by default, but it happens by design. That we have to be intentional in listening for God. Every now and then, maybe God will throw lightning and thunder and get our attention. But most of the time, it seems like he's speaking quietly. And we got to tune out other noises. We have to listen. Jesus modeled this. In the gospel, it says, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus departed and went out to a place." There are four verbs here: rising, departed, went, and prayed. This indicates that Jesus had to be very intentional to go to a quiet place. This was a time when Jesus was popular. People were demanding his attention. A lot of people wanted to hear what he had to say, and they wanted to experience a miracle. They wanted a healing. And even during this time, Jesus is interrupted by a disciple coming, "Hey, where you been? Everybody's looking for you." So there were a lot of demands on Jesus' time. He had pressures like we have pressures, more pressures than probably most of us, or maybe all of us. But Jesus was intentional. He modeled this. He made it his practice to go to a quiet place, a desolate place, where he could pray. The Psalm, Psalm 46, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." I think Jesus was following this command here. So all throughout Scripture, we see that, be still. Now, for me, this is a command that I would love to keep. Doesn't it sound great to be commanded to be still? Sometimes that just seems like a dream, just to sit around and do nothing. And yet here it is, be still, be still. And Jesus practiced being still. Now the context of Psalm 46, it says, it opens up by saying that God is our refuge. We escape to him in times of trouble. He's an always ever-present help whenever we need it. God is there when it's chaotic. So the context is chaos, loudness. It's the earth falling apart. It's nations raging. It's political instability. It's a time of insecurity. And it's in that time where God draws us and says, be still. Be still and know. So I want to encourage us. This month we're going to be talking about quieting down, about listening to God, the whisper of God. Because God speaks to us. And so we're going to be encouraging each other to quiet down and listen to what God has to say. And the biggest reason why we do it is because Jesus did it. And our aim is to make disciples. Disciples are people who follow Jesus. And we want to try to do what Jesus did. And Jesus took time to be still. If Jesus needed some stillness, I think we do too. So I want to encourage you, take some time to be still, take some time to be quiet. It might be in the car, it might be as simple as turning the radio off and just taking some quiet moments, or turning the TV off. It might be getting up a little bit earlier, it might be staying up a little bit later, it might be escaping to a room where nobody else is just for a few moments, but to have that time to be still. God can do more with one whisper and one word than other people can do with thousands or millions of words. With a whisper, God healed Elijah's loneliness and he renewed his hope, strength, and purpose. With the whisper, the son found the strength to carry out the difficult mission of saving the world that had been given to him by his heavenly Father. Hearing one word from God has the power to do so much, and it's more powerful than thousands of words elsewhere. Can you imagine what God would want to do with us and what God can do through us if we hear what the all-knowing God has to say to us? You pray with me. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge the scripture that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God in the beginning. We come to you believing that Jesus is the Word made flesh, and that you have the words of eternal life. As people, we can be hard of hearing. Sometimes our hearts are hard, and we don't even want to hear the truth. So please soften our hearts. Give us discerning hearts. Please give us eyes that see and ears that hear. Help us to quiet down our souls and to be still so that we can tune out the noise and hear the still small voice of the Spirit of God. Thank you for each person who is listening and for speaking to us through your word, your spirit, and your people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.